In April 2014, Dutch students Chris Kramers and Lisanne Froon went missing on a trip to Panama, only for some of their belongings and remains to turn up a few weeks later. These fragments of evidence, including some truly bizarre photographs, appeared under inexplicable circumstances and left investigators with more questions than answers. The Kramers and Froon case is one of many unexplained deaths and disappearances around the world that share some unexpected commonalities and suggest that the influence of other anomalous phenomena. Chris and Lisanne, 21 and 22 years of age, worked at a cafe restaurant in the city of Amersfoort in the Netherlands. The women planned a trip to Panama to learn Spanish while volunteering with local children. They flew into the island town of Bocas del Toro on March 15, 2014. 2 weeks later, they traveled to the small mountain town of Boquete, where they arranged to volunteer at a school for children. They expected to return home on April 21st. The women arrived in Boquete on March 29th, as their photos show, and they returned to their host's home before dusk. The morning of Monday, March 31st, Kramers and Froon went to the children's school, but were told that they would have to wait until the following week to begin volunteering. The women could not find replacement work, so with help from staff at a nearby Dutch-run language school, they arranged some sightseeing tours. A Facebook post on March 30th, and a later text to Chris's boyfriend, shows that the women intended to walk around Boquete before then. Two of the staff at the language school witnessed the pair leave town around midday on Tuesday, April 1st. Witnesses reported that Lisanne looked a bit sick. A taxi driver later reported to have dropped the pair off around 1:40 p.m. at the beginning of the Pianista Trail. However, other witnesses and timestamps on the photos indicate that the hike had begun earlier that day. Either way, Chris contacted her boyfriend by phone around 2 p.m. Chris and Lisanne had been wearing light clothing and brought only a single backpack, some money, a digital camera, their phones, two water bottles, and likely a bit of food. Later, Dutch police spoke to an innkeeper who claimed that the pair had asked him for directions for their hike and later returned, looking tired, asking for help getting back to town. There are conflicting eyewitness testimonies, and it's possible that many of these witnesses may simply be attributing memories to the wrong day or remembering the wrong tourists. The pair were scheduled with a local tour guide at 8 a.m. on Wednesday, April 2nd, and their absence prompted the guide to search for them. By evening, the police and families were contacted with help from staff at the language school. The next day, local authorities, tour guides, and residents began foot searches, with dogs and air support arriving shortly after. Authorities distributed flyers in the area, and news of their disappearance aired on television. Some family members and a friend of the women traveled to Boquete to help the search. The family offered $2,500 US to anyone who could provide an actionable tip on the pair's whereabouts. Unfortunately, bad weather hindered search efforts, and with no traces found after a week and a half, officials downscaled the search on April 14th. The women's parents reached out on social media, put up billboards, and built websites. They even increased the reward to $40,000, but all tips proved to be unhelpful. Some witnesses spoke of seeing a red car on the day the pair went missing, but this car was never identified. Later, two French tourists claimed that on April 6th, they walked the Pianista Trail and met someone who lived on the route, who told them to avoid the forest because they had heard screaming the previous day or night. Chris's family members returned to the Netherlands by the end of April, but Lisanne's parents arrived in May. Near the end of the month, further search efforts were initiated by a team of 18 Dutch search and rescue volunteers with 12 dogs, and later, the Costa Rican Red Cross provided 30 mountain rescuers. Nothing was found. In mid-May, an anonymous telephone caller who declined the reward money reported seeing two bodies near the Calubre River. Police released a map highlighting the spot near a river crossing, but after a search of the area, announced that the tip was a false alarm. However, a report by the Star of Panama claimed that helicopter radar detected skeletons, but due to the weather and difficult conditions, officials were unable to recover them. The women's remains were discovered the following month in the same area. On June 11th, nearly 10 weeks since the women's disappearance, an indigenous farmer was working by a river around the village of Alto Romero when she spotted a backpack near or in a river roughly 8 hours walking distance north of Boquete. The backpack contained Froon's passport, an insurance card, a digital camera, the women's cell phones, $83 in US cash, sunglasses, two folded bras, and an empty plastic water bottle. The backpack was discovered in an area previously searched by the middle of April, but authorities claim that sniffer dogs had been prevented from searching there due to dangerous conditions. During a press conference on June 19th, Panamanian prosecutor Betsaida Piti Serud announced that residents of Alto Romero had discovered human remains in a dense wooded area along the upper part of the Calubre River, roughly 5 kilometers from the pair's last known hiking location. The items were scattered over a fairly large area. They included Chris's left pelvic bone and one of Lisanne's shoes with the laces done up. Inside was a sock and some remains of her foot. Also found were Chris's jean shorts and a boot that matched the brand and condition of the ones that Chris had been wearing. However, this boot was blue instead of brown, and investigators chose not to test it for DNA. This area had also been searched previously, but again, authorities claimed difficult terrain had prevented the dogs from searching there. At the end of July 2014, Chris's parents returned to Panama and walked the Pianista Trail. Search efforts by locals found more of the women's bones on July 30th and August 2nd, including one of Chris's rib bones. Later forensic testing revealed all of Chris's bones had traces of phosphorus, resulting in white discoloration. This can result from sun exposure or from chemicals in the ground, but the necessary phosphates aren't present in the local soil. Tests on the other bones showed no signs of trauma, fractures, or illness. In August, the Kremers family representative filed a complaint against the Panamanian prosecution, accusing them of mishandling the investigation. Shortly after, the Kremers family discovered that the Netherlands Forensic Institute had failed to pass on information to the Panamanian authorities. Later, Chris's parents revealed that DNA from an unknown person was found on the recovered backpack, and that information from Panamanian authorities indicated that the women had been kidnapped. One newspaper wrote that a fingerprint found on one of the recovered phones was in the Panamanian database, but Panamanian authorities did not obtain fingerprints from searchers who would have handled the evidence. At the end of August, locals found more remains along the Calubre River, two of Lisanne's leg bones, and a piece of skin from her leg. Forensic testing determined that the skin tissue was in unusually good condition for the almost 5 months that she was missing. There were 33 scattered bones and fragments recovered in all, and strangely, DNA testing found that a number belonged to 3 different unknown victims. In September, the camera and phone cases were tested for biological traces, and Lisanne's remains were investigated by the Netherlands Forensic Institute. The Institute's investigators released their autopsy report on September 19th, and Petit Serud concluded that Chris and Lisanne died 8 days after they went missing, likely taken by the swollen river. The lackluster investigation efforts suggest to some that officials in Panama wanted to cover up the case to protect the tourist industry. With support from donations, a team of forensic specialists was sent to Boquete in early January 2015, made up of members of a Dutch dog rescue team and a few Panamanian authorities. The forensic specialists reviewed all plausible scenarios and walked the Pianista Trail to the Calubre River, where the items and remains were found. the specialists concluded that becoming lost on the trail was implausible, and that the possibility of encountering crime was highly unlikely. They leaned towards a fatal accident, with the team leader stating that the end of the trail had slopes leading to the river that the women could have fallen down. However, this accident theory was contested by many outside parties, and it doesn't explain the sudden appearance of the women's remains in a previously searched area. A wealth of evidence was found on the women's devices, though it didn't offer any resolution to the mystery. On April 1st, Chris made an emergency phone call from an unknown location at 4:39 p.m., but no connection was made. Lizanne attempted another call 12 minutes later. At 6:58 a.m. the next day, an attempt was made to call an emergency number from Lizanne's phone, with another attempt using Chris's over an hour later. The phones were turned on and off again several more times in the following days, with two more attempted 911 calls from Chris's phone on April 3rd. The second time that someone tried using Chris's phone on April 5th, the user entered the wrong PIN code, or failed to enter one at all, causing the phone to stay locked. The next day, around the same times as the previous day's attempts, there were two more incorrect PIN entries, and several more in the following days. The phone was turned off for good at 11:56 a.m. on April 11th. After the women's camera was recovered on June 11th, many of their photos were leaked online. By the timeline set by authorities, at least 33 photos were taken April 1st showing the pair on the Pianista Trail, reaching the summit and going beyond it. The next photo to be taken was completely deleted, and after that, their camera went unused for the next 7 days. Only 51 of the remaining 100 photos taken were leaked to the public, though it's possible that the remaining 49 photos were completely dark. All but one of the leaked photos were taken in the middle of the pair's seventh night missing, April 8th, between 1:29 and 3:22 a.m. local time, with the last image taken at 4:10 a.m. Like the phone data, these so-called night photos only raise more questions. All of the photos were edited in some way. Most were brightened or had their camera settings data deleted. Most appear to be taken with a flash and contain some rainfall. The majority show the same surrounding foliage from different angles, enabling analysts to overlay them. The fact that so many flash photos were taken pointed straight up at the same break in the tree cover suggests that the pair were attempting to signal to would-be rescuers, although no searches were conducted at night. Other photos suggest that the women were using the flash to orient themselves. A few images stand out, notably image 550, which shows red shopping bags tied to a branch on a large rock. Image 580 is especially unusual, being a well-exposed and focused shot of what could be the back of Chris's head, her hair somehow perfectly dry and almost free of debris. Another standout photo is image 509, because it was deleted from the memory card. Normally, when a photo is deleted from a camera, the image remains on the memory card until it's overwritten, suggesting that someone must have used outside software to remove it. Independent analysts have pointed out that the digital camera's date and time settings were off by a year, meaning authorities could have recalibrated the times incorrectly. It's also been argued that at least some of the times or file names are incorrect. A private investigator close to the Kramers family, known only to the public as V, came to believe that the final photos of the pair walking the trail were taken the day prior, on March 31st, and that the perpetrators changed photo data to April 1st. This might explain why some testimonies conflict with the official timeline. In October 2015, writer and journalist Ramon Hernandez published a book compiling Panamanian news articles and photos released between April 29, 2014 and the book's publication. He argued that the circumstances pointed to a crime. In 2022, Venezuelan-American journalist Mariana Atencio traveled to Boquete to reinvestigate the case with Daily Beast reporter Jeremy Crite, locals were reluctant to speak about the disappearances, but the team discovered that there were over 50 missing women and girls in that area since 2009 alone. The team also made allegations of government corruption, possible drug trafficking, and even human trafficking and organ harvesting. To further complicate the investigation, a low-resolution photo emerged from an unknown source, which may or may not show Chris and Lizanne swimming topless with two men. Needless to say, there is no consensus on what happened to Chris and Lizanne. Kramers and Froon weren't the only tourists to go missing in the area. In 2009, Alex Humphrey, a 29-year-old British man, disappeared from the town of Boquete, leaving everything behind except his passport, credit card, and money. Locals in the area have also met unexpected ends, like 22-year-old Osman Valenzuela from Alto Boquete, who died shortly after Kramers and Froon's disappearance. While his death looked like a drowning, the autopsy found no water in his lungs. It's a near certainty that Osman is one of the two men featured in the photo with the two female swimmers. The other man in the photo was killed the following year in a traffic accident. Most worrisome, the last taxi driver to drop Chris and Lizanne off on April 1st, Leonardo Arturo Gonzalez, was found drowned the following year on March 2nd, after he had just been seen waiting nearby for some passengers. Globally, a disturbingly high number of people go missing every year. Over 600,000 people go missing annually in the US alone, though many of these are later found. While the Kramers and Froon disappearance is unusual in many ways, it fits several patterns observed in missing persons cases around the world. These patterns are researched most prominently by retired police officer David Pilates, who's produced several books and documentaries under his Missing 411 series. Pilates highlights over a dozen standout traits or profile points that he's identified as being present in many of the unexplained disappearances. For example, many disappearances happen in rural settings, often deep in the wilderness. Search dogs can't track a scent from the scene of the disappearance. In cases where the victim returns, they often lack memory of the events or describe missing time. In cases where the victim dies, the body is often found with some apparel missing, often their boots, despite a thorough search of the area, and frequently in a spot previously explored many times by searchers. Often, too, the body turns up in or near a source of water. Pilates also noted that it was usual for large bones to be missing from the bodies. For example, 48-year-old Robert Springfield from Montana went missing September 19, 2004. The former Marine had gone out on a bow hunting trip with his 13-year-old son in the Bighorn Mountains, an area he was very familiar with, but he failed to return to the meeting spot. Search efforts recovered nothing. What remained was found October 2005, a partial skull and a femur next to a neatly rolled belt, two boots, a coat, and his untouched wallet. Only his bow and arrows were missing. The remains were just 50 yards from the camp where searchers focused their efforts. In his 2012 book, Missing 411, Pilates stated that he had been presented with at least six viable hypotheses to account for the phenomenon, but didn't detail what these were. He stated only that there are too many consistent elements present in the majority of cases for this to be mere coincidence. In recent years, however, he suggested that these disappearances may be related to other anomalous experiences and entity encounters. Pilates' latest documentary explores the connection with the UFO phenomenon, and he suggests that many missing persons cases may have begun like other UFO abduction stories, but differed in that the victims were not returned. In other words, what we know as UFO abduction experiences may simply be aborted missing persons cases, where the experiencer, for whatever reason, was returned to their place of capture. For example, Pilates brings up the Carl Higdon abduction of 1974, in which Carl was apparently taken aboard a spaceship after meeting a strange entity on an elk hunt. Higdon was told that he was not suitable for his abductor's purposes, which he took to mean that he'd had a vasectomy and couldn't procreate. Several cases suggest the presence of a cryptid. For example, in late January of 2019, in Craven County, North Carolina, 3-year-old Casey Hathaway disappeared into the woods, surviving freezing and near-freezing conditions for over 2 days until he was found just a quarter mile from his last known location. According to the family, Casey said that his best friend the bear was with him to keep him safe during the 2 days, though all bears should have been hibernating at that time. Pilates also reports that dozens of North American indigenous peoples he's interviewed state that little people living in the forests regularly harass, kidnap, and steal, but it's rare to ever see one. Ufologist Jacques Vallée has drawn on the work of scholars of European folklore to show that medieval Europeans believed the same things about fairies, lutins, kobolds, and other mythical beings. In fact, nearly all cultures of the world have traditions of some wild creature or spirit taking people away to kill them. There are so many highly unusual elements in the disappearance of Kramers and Froon that no single explanation can account for them all. At the same time, however, the case contains many elements that fit with a larger pattern of unexplained deaths and disappearances around the world. Some of these missing persons cases, at least, may also overlap with other anomalous phenomena, including fairies, cryptids, and even UFOs. If you liked this video, visit our website at thinkanomalous.com, where we have text versions of every video, complete with footnotes and sources, and original articles on anomalous phenomena. Think Anomalous is created by Jason Charbonneau. Research by Clark Murphy. Music by Josh Chamberlain.